indeed cannot tell how wonderful God is. No pen can do it justice. Just this week, I finished a book. It was it's a fictional book, actually, about the life of Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. They added a lot of details to it that we don't know from Bible, but what could have been based upon Jewish writings and so forth, but they also mixed in what we do know about those two men. It was a fantastic book. Don Swearingen actually bought it for me. It's almost 400 pages, but I finished the book weeping because of the love of God when they realize, wait a minute, he is the Messiah, and we've killed him. And they ended the story, and it said to be continued, which I love that. Because the story of redemption is not done. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. If you've already have a copy of your bulletin, you need to flip it over, because both early this morning's sermon notes are there. I'm going to do a mini-series this morning on faith. As we enter Faith Promise Missions Conference, it's a question that's like, okay, what about faith, and how much do we go, and what does the Bible say about it? It's a subject that, though we visited before, I think it's a subject that we continue to visit because it's such a huge one. There are all kinds of questions about faith, and what is it that we have faith in, and what if I just, hey, the Bible says if I have faith to remove mountains, they can be removed. And I've tried to move some mountains and they're not moving. So what's wrong? So I want to work through some of those things with us this morning as we just kind of look at, we'll start in Hebrews 11. We're going to look at a variety of passages of Scripture. This message is not primarily about salvation, though we know salvation is by faith. That's clearly taught in the Word of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25 says, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Romans 3 and verse 28 says, wherefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It's amazing to me when someone says, well, I think I can work my way to heaven. A good question to ask them is, then why did Jesus die? If you can work your way to heaven, why did he have to die? The truth is, if you could work your way to heaven, it was one of the cruelest things that God the Father did to his Son. But see, the point is, we can't work our way to heaven. Jesus had to die. His blood had to be shed for the remission of sins. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Galatians 2 and verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, whom we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Do you think Paul was trying to get a point across here? Three times in one verse he says, you can't be justified by doing the law. It's only by faith. By the way, even if the law was never a means of salvation, but if it were, we're all doomed anyway. We can't keep the law anyway. Just the 10 that we commonly call the 10 commandments, let alone the 600 plus that are actually written in the Old Testament. How many of you know all 600 plus of them? See, you can't keep them. You don't even know them, right? By the way, the average person can't name the 10 commandments. That's interesting, isn't it? I got to keep the Ten Commandments to get to heaven. Well, what are those? And how did Jesus define them? But we digress, all right? Let's get back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. I love it when different people give definitions of faith. I've given some definitions of it before, but God gives us a definition, and that one's pretty good. We are to just settle on it, right? The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Hebrews 11 is that good report. He's going to lay that out for us. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So, just by way of introduction, the definition of faith we find here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. This word substance is an interesting word. It's a setting, or it's a placing under, a thing put under, if you will, a substructure, a foundation, a confidence, a firm trust. A firm trust in what? Well, it can be in a real being. So if I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ, that's an accurate interpretation of this. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Then he says it's the substance of things hoped for. The word hope, as you know, in the Word of God is a confident expectation. We could say it this way: to wait for salvation with joy and full confidence. It's not a matter of, oh, I hope so and so happens. You know, I hope the Panthers get a win eventually. I really don't. I just thought I'd get a jab in there on Thursday night. The worst part of Thursday night was not that you lost the game. It was the way Cam Newton dressed after. Anyway, okay. The substance of things hoped for. What does it say next? The evidence. By the way, I only say those things because I only get to do it about once every 5 years. Okay? Hope for the evidence. Well, what's evidence? It's a proof. That which a thing is proved or tested. It's enough, if you will, to convict someone of. In other words, it's not just a relative thing out there. Well, there's some proof out there, you know. No. It's enough proof to convict someone in a court of law. That's the idea behind it. The evidence. It's been tested. So we could say it this way. Faith is the foundation, the confidence, the assurance. That's what faith is. In the person of Jesus Christ, who we wait with joy for our salvation. Faith is enough evidence to convince someone in a court of law of its truth. In other words, people say, well, I don't think there's enough evidence to believe in a God. Then you have to call this passage a liar, because God says there's ample proof. If someone walked in this room this morning and said to you, such and such happened, and you're like, what? And they said, oh yeah, we have 500 plus eyewitnesses, and you begin to interview those eyewitnesses, don't you think that's pretty good evidence? By the way, that's the evidence for the resurrection. It's interesting, people think that the resurrection can't be proven. But even secular authors have said it's the single most verifiable fact in modern history. It can be proved. These are people who don't believe in Jesus Christ, but they can prove the resurrection. Faith is confidence in something so much that you will stake your life on it. This building is on a foundation. How many of you this morning thought about the foundation of this building? Anybody think about the foundation of this building? I did. That's because I wrote it in my notes to think about it right now. How many of you saw the foundation of this building laid? Anybody? Pastor Shrett, perhaps? Billy? Okay, a few that have been here, you actually saw the foundation laid. But for the grave majority of us in this room, we're just believing that it was laid right. Right? We don't know that it was laid right. Well, we don't know what all went into it. Yet we believe it by faith. That's faith is the substance. It's the foundation. It's the underpinning. That's why God will later say, without faith, it's impossible to please him. If you don't have a foundation underneath it, you've got serious problems. 9/11 brings back not only the memory of what happened to our country, but we were in the middle of remodeling our kitchen at the time, ripping out walls and ripping out flooring and all this kind of stuff. And when we got down to the floor joists, which we literally could see dirt as we began to rip stuff off, the outside major joist that supported our house was totally gone. I mean, like, totally eat through with termites. I could stick a finger through it. And it's like, Well, that's probably a problem we should fix, you know? It wasn't what I was planning on, but we probably should get that fixed, right? We actually jacked the house up because it had just continued to sink as that beam began to wear away. If you, don't do this because my wife won't like it, but if you'll stand in our dining room and look down our kitchen, right next to our dishwasher, you can see the floor curve because you never could get it quite back to where it needed to be. We jacked and jacked and jacked, but we were getting to a point where we were starting to crack walls in the house and some things like that, and so we had to stop. We put some beams underneath it, and it's, I don't think has any termites underneath there today. But that was important because it was the foundation of the house. If you go upstairs, we've got a wall where the baseboard used to sit level. It's now gapped about this much because when we jacked it, everything had settled. And the truth is, there's doors in our house that will never close. It's just been there too long. The house was built in 1949, right? But the foundation is really important. That's why it's important for us. Like, you're spending a lot of time on introduction. I know. But without the foundation, we're in trouble. Faith is the foundation. So we see the definition of faith. But number two, we see the dignitaries of faith. That is, the people he's going to talk about in chapter 11. We don't have time to go through all of them. But he says, for by it, by what? By faith, the elders obtained a good report. And he's going to give us that report over the next many verses. He's going to lay an argument about, here are the elders of the nation. Remember, the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish people who were thinking of turning their back on Jesus Christ. But all these guys believed it by faith. It's a good report. It's a witness, if you will. Matter of fact, it's interesting. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. You turn there just real quick. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that is the same word for good report. It's a witness. So by it, the elders obtained a witness, and they're going to give us that witness through the written page of the Word of God. And then we see number three, and I think this is important as he lays this foundation. We see number three, the dawning or the creation. He says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. Why in the midst of a conversation about men of faith would he feel necessary to lay the foundation of creation? Because again, without that foundation, without the foundation of faith from the very beginning, all kinds of things start eroding away. I've heard people say this. It really doesn't matter about creation. Whether it was because God said so or whether it was by evolution, that really doesn't matter. You don't necessarily have to fundamentally believe that to believe the Bible. Are you kidding? Because how does Genesis start? God created the heavens and the earth. So if you don't believe that, how can you trust anything else it says? If he were lying about that, doesn't it bring suspect into all the rest of the book? It's pretty important. And this author felt so as well. He says, by faith we understand, to perceive with the mind. That's interesting to me because it's not just an emotional decision. This is not something that we just have to close our eyes and grope around and believe it. He says, perceive with the mind. In other words, there's evidence to prove that God created the world. Things did not come into existence or begin with something already here. God spoke the world out of nothing. That's hard for us to understand. These passages, we're not going to get real technical, but it's in the perfect tense, which is viewed as being completed in the past and once for all, not needing to be repeated. God started that process. He created things. Now, there are all kinds of things that are still happening today, but we don't have new creations per se. We don't have anything coming out of nothing. You might create something, but you take stuff that's already here, boards and rock and all that kind of stuff, and you might create something, but you don't take nothing and create something. You don't have nothing. You're like, oh yeah, right here's nothing. No. This is something. We actually breathe it. We need it. Try it without it sometime. It doesn't work too well. So we don't even have nothing. God created the world out of nothing. This makes creation an essential belief to everything else that we do. One author said this, faith is also a way of viewing all experiences since it is the way in which believers see the universe for what it is, created by God. In other words, we view this through the lens of creation by faith, and that changes everything. Like, well, just a couple of examples of what it changes. If we indeed came from evolution, wouldn't that change how I treat individuals? Wouldn't it promote the survival of the fittest? I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can play on. It's amazing to me how people want to teach others that they came from animals, and then when they act like animals, they try to reform them. That makes no sense in what you're teaching them overall. It does make a difference. Another author said it this way: faith is the means by which Christians do business beyond time and space and bring to pass otherwise unrealizable hopes. Hence, our faith is the vehicle that God uses to connect His realm with ours, to bridge the gap between our humanity and His eternity. The fact is, everything we're doing should have eternal significance. We have that privilege. So when we go to work, you're like, well, I'm going to work and I'm earning money. Yeah, but if you're giving that money to God in faith promise, missions, or in whatever, then it's laying up eternal treasures that can never be taken away. The Bible tells us that moth and rust doth corrupt. Thieves can't break through and steal it. It's eternally laid up. So here's the one thought I want us to see today. That was all introduction. That's why it's a two-part message. Because He is faithful, we can and we must practice faith. Hebrews 10 and verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now why? For He is faithful that promised. Before we get in the meat of the message, can I just tell you a simple truth? Your faith will waver when your faith is in you. Your faith will waver when your faith is in something man-made. But when faith is rooted in God's Word, then I don't have to waver. I don't have to waver at all. Because God is faithful. In other words, He's going to accomplish what He said He was going to do. Now, does that always mean that we get what we want? I would love to tell you it is. I'd love to tell you just name it and claim it. Amen. Give me $1,000 and you'll be rich. Give me $1,000 and I'll be rich. Especially if I can get a bunch of you to do it, right? I mean, that works out pretty convenient for that guy. No, it's faith in God's Word. God does say, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We can bank on that. We can bank on that. What a wonderful truth that is. So I want us to see, first off this morning, the position of faith, and that is dependence. The position of faith, dependence. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5 says that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, number one, God wants us to live daily in faith. He wants us to live daily in faith. Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Romans 1 and verse 17, the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, the just shall live by faith. Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, God wants us to daily live out our faith in every way. And God is pleased with that. God is pleased when we totally depend on Him. This morning, if I step off this platform okay? And someone says, I'll catch you before you hit the floor, because hitting the floor is painful. Right, Dale? Okay. But if you say to me, I'll catch you, and number one, I need to have faith in you, which there's not a whole lot of people in this room I'd have that kind of faith in. You're like, how come? Well, because I'm a big boy, and you probably need a little strength to catch me, right? And some of you would just, well, anyway. But if I hold my leg out and hold the pulpit, am I really practicing faith? I've not had total dependence. Those of you that are younger in the room, and maybe some of you that are older, there was a craze this week around the internet about a young couple who did a daring stunt. Anybody see that picture where he's holding his girlfriend out over a precipice? It's quite an alarming picture, honestly, and that's what got the internet kind of stirred up about it. But he's literally got a hold of her, and she's out over, and I mean, below is, it looks like thousands of feet. Now, I don't know the exact location where they're at or whatever. And of course, he comes back later and says, I know you guys are upset, but there was really no danger here, and you know, she was safe all the time. And I'm like, well, either you did some trick photography or something, because she sure looked like she was in danger. Total faith. Because without him grabbing a hold of her, she's going to be in trouble, all right? God wants us to totally depend upon him. He don't want us to kind of squeak at it. He don't want us to say, well, God, you prove that there's a step there and then I'll take it. That's not faith. That's sight. I can see the stone. Okay, now I'm going to take a step. God says step when there's not a stone. In other words, God says, hey, look, I want you to step into the River Jordan while it's still roaring. And before your foot comes down, the water will be dry. Now, you say, but what about the time when he parted the Red Sea before they started out? He did that. Now, listen to me. He did that when he was proving himself to these new people. They didn't know God. Have you ever noticed that when you first got saved and there was things happening and God was growing you and all this kind of stuff, you could pray, I'm not saying they were ridiculous prayers, but you could pray prayers of just kind of like God prove it and he would do it, and it was like, that is so cool, you know. God was saying, hey, I can prove to you who I am, but he wants us to go beyond that. He wants us to be able to trust him when everything around us says no. Because that's real trust. That's real trust. When he says, I know you can't see. I know you don't know what you're doing. I know you don't know the future. Trust me. Trust me. See, eventually, he gave little nuggets of truth to the disciples, but eventually, he wanted them to trust him without them seeing him. Do you remember what he said to Thomas? Thomas, I'm grateful you believe now. But blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. Thomas, you needed to see the pierce. You needed to see the pierced hands. You needed to see the wound in my side. That's what you needed to see before you believe. But Thomas, there's a greater benefit. There's a greater blessing, if you will, to those who believe without having seen. By the way, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, that's all of you. Because you've never seen him. You believe that by faith. So he wants us to live by faith on a day-by-day basis. But number two, there's an idea of there's a little developed faith. In other words, there's time when our faith is like, oh, you got to be kidding. And I love how the Word of God gives us some of these things. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26 says, and he said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Luke chapter 12 and verse 28, if then God so clothed the grass of the field, the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. You know what? You grow something by using it. It's kind of like a muscle. In other words, you have to use the muscle, whether you lift weights or whether you get out of the chair or whatever your exercise program is, right? Like, I got out of my chair and went to the kitchen for a snack. Okay, well, at least you walked and didn't have a conveyor belt to you, right? Whatever your exercise program is, if you don't use those things, you'll lose them. I don't care how healthy you are currently. It's the same way with faith. You grow your faith by using it. We can't sit in the comfort of where God wants, or where we've got, and God says, hey, step out by faith, step out by faith, step out by faith, and we don't step out by faith and expect our faith to grow. It's going to grow when we step out by faith and use it. So do you live a life of total dependence on God? I'm talking total dependence on Him. That's difficult sometimes, isn't it? And what I mean by difficult is sometimes it's difficult to live a total dependent life by faith because most of us have what we need. The truth is, most people in this room, I'm not saying there's not some exceptions, but most people in this room didn't wake up this morning wondering, if God doesn't do something, I'm not going to eat. And it's harder to live by faith that God's going to provide our meals when we have them all ready provided, right? And so God wants us to do other things to believe by faith that He knows exactly what He's doing. So we see, first off, this morning, the position of faith. What does God want from us? Dependence. Number two, we see the pleasing of faith. That's a declaration. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. What does He say here? But without faith, it is, what's the next word? Impossible. Impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I think it's interesting that God uses this word. Apart from faith, it's impossible. It's powerless. It's weak. It's disabled. It's unable to be done. You can't do it. So if you're trying to please God, I don't care how great you are. If you're not practicing faith, you're not pleasing Him. Can't do it. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's interesting. This word please is the idea of well-pleasing. You know, in the Gospels, He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the idea behind this. Not only must you believe that He is, but you also must believe that He's the one who gives wages. Notice what He says here. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I mean, some of our dear missionaries who are laboring on a field and nothing's currently happening, they have to believe by faith that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's a lot easier talked about than lived, isn't it? I mean, it's a lot harder to be faithful in the midst of things going totally wrong and you can't see anything happen. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10, when Jesus heard it, He marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Luke 7 and verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, He marveled at Him, and turned Him about and said unto the people that followed Him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. We could go on and on. Your faith is in God. Your dependence is in God. Your declaration is in God. Not necessarily what you want. And that's difficult. When you declare something, you're going all in on it. You're going all in with the good and the bad. What if someone declared that they were for you, but they never showed it? What if someone said to you, hey, look, I would love to give money towards that project, but they never gave money? Would you question their declaration? Eventually you would. You'd be like, you said you're going to put some money to back this up here. What's going on? Oh, I'm going to. I'm all for you. Well, eventually, you need the proofs in the pudding. God says, hey, look, What does your faith say about your total declaration about God? What does your life declare about God? If someone were to look at you over the last month or two, what have you practiced by faith? By faith. Have you practiced? Even the idea of giving out a tract or speaking a word of kindness to someone or trying to witness to someone, that's all by faith. God, you're doing something and I want to trust you with it. I want us to see number three, the people of faith. The people of faith. It is impossible to read Hebrews chapter 11 and not get the idea that these people were daring. They were daring. So faith is a dependence. Faith is a declaration. Faith is daring. I mean, Noah built an ark in the middle of nowhere for 120 years and then got on it when God told him to. Abraham left his country. Sarah bore a child at 90. The Bible says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. You're like, okay, pal. You not weak in faith? At 100? And your wife 90? That's faith. Why? Because God said so. God told him it was going to happen. Moses left all the glories of Egypt. Rather suffer with the people of God. The Red Sea parted. Jericho fell. And then the writer of Hebrews just thought the message was getting too long, so he just summarized the rest of the Old Testament in chapters 32 through 38. Time would fail to tell me, and he just goes, starts listening. You know, quench the violence with fire. We're sawn in half. It's like, whoa, there's some really good stories there, you know. It's kind of like the time we were in Israel. We were pulling through the valley where the sun stood still. That same valley also has the road to Emmaus. And we're just pulling through it. And our tour guide said, oh, by the way, this is the valley where the sun stood still. Joshua told it. Oh, and that little road right there you can see, that's the road to Emmaus. Boom. I'm like, whoa, time out. I want to stop and see this stuff, right? There's so much going on around us. That's how the Hebrews writer finishes this up. We could come to the New Testament and talk about a woman with disease of 12 years. Jesus healed her, or the four men who said, our friend's got to be healed. We'll rip up a ceiling if we have to. Just get him to Jesus. We could go on and on and on. Some of the first deacons were men full of faith and of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts. Ephesians 6 tells us, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Jude chapter 1, verse 3, behold, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was need for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Lord willing, October the 5th, we'll begin a series on the book of Jude. It is a fantastic, power-packed little book. I'm looking forward to it. I trust you are as well. Now listen, there's a difference between foolishness and faith. We could ask this question, how daring are you? I don't say, how foolish are you? And I know people who say there's a fine line between faith and foolishness. But I want you to listen to me really closely here this morning. I believe that we've used that as an excuse. I don't want to be foolish, so I'm just not practicing faith. Hey, can I tell you something? If God said it in His Word, it's not foolish to believe it. The world may say it's foolish to believe it, but it's not foolish. We don't have a lot of time. Probably most of you have heard this story. Pastor Caleb's grandfather has a pretty amazing story at his time there in Suriname. This is, from what I understand of him, I don't know him as well as others, obviously, and as Pastor Caleb would know for sure. But he wasn't a flamboyant type of person. It wasn't like he was out trying to prove himself all the time. But in one particular village that he was in, a witch doctor challenged him with the power of God. And the witch doctor danced on a bed of broken glass and fire with no injury. And he said, see, this is what my God can do for you. And Dale Champlin tells the story of him taking off his shoes and socks. And he said internally he was thinking, God, I sure hope you're gonna help me with this, you know, because there's no opportunity unless you believe it by faith. But he believed that's what God wanted him to do. And so he walked across this hotbed of coals and glass, went back to his hut. And as I understand the story, the next morning, the villagers rushed into his hut and began to examine the bottom of his feet, and nothing was there. No wounds, nothing. And God proved himself. Now, I'm not saying this morning that you ought to go light a fire and go walk on it to see if your faith is in God. But I am telling you there's going to be times when God says, I want you to step out there. God, that doesn't make any sense. I know, I just want you to step out. But God, what about this? And Lord, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And God says, I just want you to step out by faith. And that's when we step out. Even though it doesn't make sense, we walk off the cliff in total dependence on him. He's never failed. And he never will. I failed. There have been things that I thought, I had convinced myself that it was a good idea. I failed, but God's never failed. We can rest in that. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can have faith in what you've told us in your word. We can have faith in you as a person who redeemed us. How precious that is. We love you. And Lord, we look forward to the rest of this later on as we continue to look at faith. In your name we pray. Amen.